With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Hello and welcome to this very special EvoStick NPL show this month, recorded live at the now officially award-winning Magnet here in Stockport.
Yeah.
Round the table, we've got the great and good for this playoff special preview EvoStick NPL show. We've got Gaz Worrell from Mosley.
Evening.
We've got Swamper from FCM Radio and 5 Live.
Good evening.
We've got Roy Sewell from New Mills.
Good evening, folks.
We've got Aaron Flanagan from The Mirror and Chicken Costumes. We've got Ian Burke from 26-0 Radio Manchester.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, that's a foul joke.
We've got James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group.
Evening.
And from Salford City, we've got Laura Flint.
Good evening.
Right. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Playoffs. We're recording this on Wednesday, we should say. And last night, what an exciting evening. If you listen to 26-0, that was exciting. If you listen to BBC Cumbria, that was exciting. What we learned from last night? Anything?
Yes, too many people listened to the radio and all servers were crashed about halfway through the game, so we need better equipment for next season to continue to broadcast. Seriously though, no, I think the big shock really was Ilkeston. Ilkeston had gone up to Workington. They'd played them twice this season. They were beaten 2-0 at home, 3-0 away.
Well, that's a right swamp, and they were pasted.
Well, they were pasted, in all fairness. That's very, very true. And the aura around Workington on Saturday, we were up there, the final game, FC United and Manchester as champions. Workington themselves, at the end of the game, they were actually hoping that Ilkeston were the team. They didn't want Blyth. They didn't want Blyth to go into there. That was a team that they were, I think, very wary of. But they were really, really happy that they got Ilkeston. For me, I think we said last night on 26-0, prior to the game itself, said I fancied Ilkeston to do something, because, and I think Berkey did as well,
yeah,
because they're a great footballing team, and on their day, on their night, they can really, really play some great, great quality football. Workington were probably still buzzing the fact that they finished runners-up. There was a big crowd there against FC United of Manchester of over, I think, 2,600 were there. And I'm not sure whether or not they were still in party mode, because you would have expected them really to win. And the question that we were asked last night from Berkey was, who was the better equipped to go up? And if you looked at it, in reality, the best team to go up, equipped to go into the next division, would have been Workington, simply because they've got, you know, everything around them in the right man at this moment in time. Ilkeston themselves, obviously, have lost a manager.
I just want to say about Workington, it's probably an element of complacency, the fact that they have played, from the reports, played Ilkeston off the park twice in the last month going into it. I mean, and naturally, Workington will think that they're confident going into it. Ilkeston know they've got to up the game for the playoff semi-final, everyone does. So no, I don't think the result's as much of a surprise as maybe.
I think personally, like, you know, Workington, you know, they've got a hell of a tradition. They're an ex-Football League team, and like Swampy says, you know, they have got a lot of remnants of the facilities that they can actually take into the higher division. But not forgetting also that they came from that division, you know, only the season previous. So I do feel, you know, listening to what's been said, that maybe a big element of complacency has come in, and they may be thinking of the two previous games rather than concentrating on the one that was coming up.
Workington only finished 9 points above Ilkeston, though. It weren't as if they completely and utterly obliterated them in the table or anything.
It was only the last, well, 3 weeks that Ilkeston suddenly dropped off.
It changed dramatically, didn't it?
Exactly. And one of the interesting things about last night, though, the two teams that went through, I mean, you say in boxing, styles make fights. Well, they do in football matches too. And the two teams that are the better footballing sides, I suppose, they went through, and not having a go at Ashton or Workington or anything like that, because their style's clearly working for them. But it's more of a perfunctory style. It's more doing the business with no flourishes and no fancy pants kind of thing.
Just one thing that's interesting, though, about both Ashton and Workington, when they want to play football, they really can play football.
Yeah. Last night was quite an eventful night. There was nearly 1,400 people at Workington against Ilkeston, over 1,000 at Hurst Cross City, Ashton United v Curzon Ashton. The first thing we're going to play now is last night's coverage from BBC Cumbria of Workington against Ilkeston. So is that now.
Or Ilson.
Gary Rowntree covers, gets a header away, picked up by Salmon, comes off his knee rather ungainly, and Workington have some to defend his deal this time. But good recovery by Salmon, got a foot there. Skelton across then to Simpson, puts his man in trouble. Now it's Reid across goal, Duffy can't get there. Richards, little back heel, driven in. Oh, it's gone in! It's a goal! Richards scores! Ilkeston have taken the lead. It was a mistake by Gavin Skelton, really. Ball was played across, and there I think it's Richards who's hammered the ball in, and it will be Ilkeston who lead. Workington 0, Ilkeston 1. And that's it, it's all over. Ilkeston have beaten Workington tonight at Borough Park in front of 1,391 by 1-0. They will be in the final on Saturday. They will go to Ashton.
Yes, they certainly are going to Ashton. Thank you to BBC Radio Cumbria there for that coverage. So we're now joined by the manager of Ilkeston, or Ilson as some would call it, Kevin Wilson. Hello, Kevin, how are you?
Good afternoon.
Right, so this is a big, big match, this one, isn't it?
Well, we've been treating the games as no different to normal, really. I've always said that getting into the playoffs was going to be the hardest part over the last sort of months, but you know, the players have kept going, and you know, they picked up a fantastic result at Workington on Tuesday night. So it's something that they're going to go out there and enjoy and enjoy the occasion. And you know, a lot of them players there have got a big and hopefully more games like Saturday's game coming up.
This season, for a long time, up until about 2 weeks ago, I'd suggest, it was awfully tight up at the top of the league, and there was about four sides who could win it. How intense has it been this season for yourselves and Ilkeston in general?
Well, in general, we've lost players, replaced players, rejuvenated lads' careers that have come out of the pro game. You know, it's been a bit of a merry-go-round at times where players have been coming in and out, and you know, one of the plans when four and a half years ago was that we produce young players from their academy into our first team, which we did by producing 30, and you know, we've had 8 or 9 players that have been connected with us this year and gone back into the Football League. So you know, the program's worked. And are we surprised that we got to the playoffs? Maybe so. You know, maybe so. But that's down to the group of players and also management team. You know, Steve Chettle's been fantastic.
If we talk about the playoff semi-final, then going up to Workington is a tough away midweek. What was it like when Kane Richards put that winner in?
Well, you know, we were quite calm and collected. You know, the players, you know, from my side of it, I've had a bit of a virus for the last couple of weeks, so they've must have been quite pleased that they've not been able to hear my dulcet tones. So most of it is relaxed, really. For me and Steve, we've got no expectations of them. We went there as massive underdogs, and we'll be going to Kirsden on Saturday as underdogs.
So you see,
finished above us.
You see yourselves as underdogs going into Saturday's match, then?
Of course, you know, we've got no divine right of being there with the amount of players that have been sold over the year. Mm-hmm. You know, we mostly look back and think the likes of Shea Adams, Ashley Hunter, have gone, Aki Wright, you know, people like that. If we'd kept players like that, then maybe we might not have been talking about the playoffs. We might have been talking about automatic promotion. But we're pleased to be where we are. I'm delighted for all the players that we've had that have come and gone on to bigger things. And you know, we're having a thing crossed on Saturday that we can get over the line and make it a really fantastic season.
Now, this next question you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but
yep.
It was a discussion point round the table at the MPL show last night's recording.
Yep.
What is going to happen with your role if you do get promoted to the Conference North? because it does seem remarkable that there's a question.
No, my role is that I will be leaving the football club at the end of the season. That's regardless, whatever happens, whether we get promoted or we stay in the Egoistic Premier. I have had contact from other clubs. At the present moment, all my focus is on is Ilkeston FC, and I'm certainly going to do that. I've got to give it massive courtesy and respect to them players, because they've stuck with me all season and they've got us out of difficult situations with their performances and what have you. They've been absolutely fantastic. And one thing I don't want to be doing is letting them down, because we've come to a major part of our season now, and it could mean a big thing. And also for Kevin Wilson, if we actually do get promoted, then I've lived up to the expectations of my contract. What? And that's something that I'll be very proud of. But whatever happens on Saturday, I'm very proud of all the players, everything that I've achieved at the football club. And, be another journey. Or does Kevin Wilson step away from it and, spend a bit more time with his family? Or does he go back into another job, Time will tell.
Fair play, Kevin, fair play. Just to let you know, everyone round the table at last night's recording are looking forward to this playoff final, because we're of the firm opinion that both Curzon Ashton and Ilkeston both play proper football. So this is going to be very exciting.
Yeah, John's put a good squad there. I believe they came up last year, didn't they, through the playoffs,
yes.
Didn't they?
Yes, they did.
I've spoke to him quite a few times. The good thing is the manager, you have good relationships with other managers, and I was delighted for Carl Margeson to get promoted, who I spoke to on Tuesday evening as well, and delighted for FC United, because they've been so close so many times. And we just hope that we have the luck of the gods on our side on Saturday and make it two promotions in 4 years.
Well, Kevin Wilson, manager of Ilkeston FC, we wish you all the best of luck, and have a good one on Saturday. Enjoy yourself.
Thank you very much.
What do you reckon to Ilkeston's chances this Saturday?
It's so, so close, this game. The two teams who play good, attractive style of football, but Curzon have got a lot of experience.
But
in
we mentioned, just before we go on to Curzon, Ilkeston have had a lot of upheaval in the last month or so. Mm-hmm. Are they equipped to go up to the next level, do we think?
Well,
as I said, they've got a very youthful team, but it depends if that team's there to go forward with him.
I think the structure that the manager put in place, the previous manager put in place, I think is very professional. I feel that the lads that he's got playing for him play in a certain manner, and it's been sort of coached into them. My feelings are what they can do is give that performance on the field with a decent quality and tempo. And I think it'll be a very close game, and if Curzon show any sort of complacency, towards them, thinking that because they're at home and they're going to rule the roost, I think they might come a little bit unstuck.
And one thing is, Kevin Wilson's last game, those players, they'll be playing their absolute hearts out for
you. You say that, and I tell you what, I honestly believe, I'll let Suley come back in a second, I honestly believe if it will be the best playoff final entertainment wise because two great footballing teams, and I really do believe if Ilkeston do it, there will have to be a rethink, and I would suggest that the money will be found to keep Steve Chell and Kevin Wilson there, because they can't afford to go into the Conference North without the quality of that kind of management. They will absolutely die a death without the top quality management team in there.
Last night was like Hollywood. It was like Sky Sports 1994. Split screen going on. You had Workington against Ilkeston going on one screen, and on the other screen you had Ashton United against Curzon. 26-0 were there, and these were the highlights.
Free kick coming in here with Bagley, drifts it over the wall, it's in! 1-0 to Ashton, beautiful free kick on 7 minutes by Chris Bagley. Hakan Burton didn't even move, rooted to the spot, and a beautiful free kick, Swamp. He makes it 1-0 to Ashton.
Well, as I said, I've seen him many, many times over the years, and when he gets it right, it's not in the back of the net, exactly there, 25 yards out, he set his wall-welded Hakan, and it's gone past him on the left-hand side, he's rooted to the ground, nothing can do. Precision free kick, great, great goal, and Ashton take the lead. And as I say, you can't say it's against the run of play or actually in favour of them because the game hasn't really got started yet.
The substitute, Harrop, is it? Harrop, can he finish? Good save by Hakan Burton. And it went through 1-1 and maybe should have made it 2 and killed the tie, Burke.
Maybe so, and someone's down with cramp here just inside the penalty.
It's Harrop who had the chance, yeah.
There's a black challenge on him, but here come Curzon now, the referee. Let's play continue. It's not a head injury, he's dead right to play on as well.
Yeah, here's Brook, it's in a bit of space. Brook shoots, and it's into the top corner. Brook equalises for Ashton. Phillips rooted to the spot. The Curzon dugout were absolutely mad. Goes into the bottom corner. Ryan Brook, it looked a speculative effort and it just flashed into the bottom corner. Oh, and that is time. It's what a derby in the end. Full blooded, and it is going to be decided by penalties. To get Curzon into the Eurostick playoff final. Stop. Curzon sends Phillips the wrong way. Curzon are into the Eurostick playoff final. John Flanagan appears from nowhere. Out from the dugout. He's a. Running about, jumps onto someone's shoulders, a lad in a little blue wig. Looks like Marion Fellaini, who's delighted as well. Ashton go out, but on the night, I think Curzon probably deserve it for the second half performance.
Joined now by Curzon Ashton manager, John Flanagan. Evening,
hi,
sir.
Thank you.
Hello, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How's your throat?
A bit gruff, I'd say. It's been in better condition, but I'm okay. You know, but it was tough. It was a tough game. I don't think either team really created many chances. I was pleased that we got obviously the dodgy penalties out of the way at Boundary Park, and two of the lads that missed penalties were brave enough to step up again. Both scored, which I'm really delighted for them. But I thought when we got to the second half, I was a bit displeased at half time because I don't think we really sort of believed in ourselves in terms of having enough time to get a touch and pass.
It didn't seem like a very Curzon-esque performance in the first half, actually.
It wasn't. And second half, not half time, I said to them, look, just get your foot on the ball and pass and believe in yourself. You know, don't just hook it on. Don't just play like the way they're playing. Get it down and pass. I said, then you'll get chances and things will open up a little bit more for us.
John, on Saturday, a little bit unexpected. Are you going to be at home up against Ilkeston?
Incredible. Incredible. Everybody thought if it was going to go anywhere, it'd be Workington. And, you know, it just shows you. Everybody thought Ilkeston, the manager's going to go in. You know, will the Hearts be in it? They went up there. That, I think when he announced he was leaving, I think I understand that it was on the coach going up to Workington when they got beat. I think they beat them 2-0 or 3-0 that night. And that's always going to play against you, you know, and it's going to motivate the team that got beat. They know it's going to be tough, and it's very easy for the victors on that occasion to take you a bit lightly.
Have you done against them this season?
well, we beat them 4-0 at our place, funny enough, so that's exactly the sort of result that we probably don't need now because they know it's going to be difficult and they know it'll certainly motivate them. So, I'm really pleased it's them. We've had two really good games against them this year. We drew with them one each down there, and we dominated the first half, and they had the better of the second half, and we drew 1-1. And then we beat them 4-0 at home, and we just scored at key times. We were 4-0 up at half time, and we were just very, very good on the day, you know. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be very, very tough because they'll be really focused and what a great opportunity for us.
I think what we can certainly say is Conference North will be getting a great footballing team. Whoever goes up, either yourself, Curzon Ashton, or indeed Ilkeston, they'll be getting footballing teams going up for next season. That's only going to be a benefit.
You know, hopefully we won't let them play. We'll get closer to them than they get closer than they do to us. So. But I've got a lot of respect for the way that they go about things.
Final question then from Luke.
How do you approach training? I presume you're going to train on Thursday. You'll have a lot of tired bodies, tired minds. Is it a chance of just... You've got a...
There's a game at the ground on Thursday, isn't
there? Oh, of course, yeah, but they'll be training. I presume Curzon will be training next door. So is it a case of you just light training session but prepare them and do your tactics there and then?
Bang on.
That was the best answer ever. John, congratulations.
Cheers,
thank you very much for joining us.
Well, Burke,
I agree with everything everyone had to say on that commentary.
No, but it was servers crashing left, right, yeah, and centre. It was on Whitby Town Radio as well.
Well, there was over.
It's a modern world, isn't it?
1,100 people there at the game.
Aaron, yeah. The time has come for you to join this discussion.
Okay.
Now, apparently, I've heard reports, not from anyone around this table, from independent sources, that you were quite pale yesterday. You were a bit nervous, and and you made it. You've done it now. Are you ready for Saturday?
I've not even thought about Saturday.
Rescue Remeder. May I recommend that to you?
It was crazy. I was in work before the game. Couldn't focus. I was petrified.
Well, that
absolutely
daily,
petrified before the game.
Improved by that.
Yeah, no, I was. To be honest, because I know how good of a side Aston are. They're physical. They play at pace. They've got two great strikers. They're very dominant. You know, they're a top team. You know, it's one of them. It was a lottery. I kind of compare that win yesterday to when we won the league at Harrogate last year. That win yesterday tops Harrogate a million times over because of the conditions of the game, the way it was played, the way we came back from, let's be honest, being battered in the first half. And we showed nothing in the first half.
And my next question is, are you going to have enough players to field a team on Saturday after what happened?
No. No. No, we're struggling.
But they sorted out a ref.
No, we picked up a couple of injuries, but we should be alright. We've also got a couple of lads who have come back, so I think we should just about be alright.
So lastly on this one, Curzon against Ilkeston this Saturday. It's a big game. We're going to be covering it live on numerous radio stations on Saturday.
We're using my blooming servers.
That's true.
We're using everyone's servers, don't worry, Birky.
We're going to spread the love.
Good, I think.
Where's it going?
Ilson.
I think yeah. Ilson, purely for the fact that when you look at the teams that were in the playoffs this year, only Curzon have not got that experience in that sort of situation. Workington, Ashley United and Ilson have been in the conference stuff before, so they know what, if you were to go up next season, no offence to Aaron and John, and again, I hope you prove me wrong, like everyone does.
I would say that I think we know exactly what it takes to play at that level. We know that you've got to be, naturally when you go up the levels, footballers tend to get bigger, taller, they're more physical. We've got to add a bit more of that to our game, but we play football the right way, and I think if we were to go up, I think we could more than hold our own.
I think, personally, that if Rowney and indeed Sam Walker are on the game as they were second half, I thought Rowney last night was Modric-esque. He was absolutely outstanding. I think Curzon will give him a really, really close game, and I also believe what Birky said there. There's a couple of injuries there that might just be detrimental to the team. I really think it should be a great game of football. Mm-hmm. However, I think Ilston will win it. I would like to be proved wrong, but it's the two best footballing teams in the division in the final, and it will be a cracker, so get yourself there.
Right. When we come back, we're going to be featuring Division 1 North and Division 1 South playoffs as well. So, yeah.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Welcome back to this playoff special of the EvoStick NPL show this week, and it's now time to draw our eyes to Division 1 North, and we've got form. We've got people around the table. We've got Gareth Worrell here from Mosley. We've got Laura Flint here from Salford City. At time of recording, we don't... Oh, and Roy Sewell. Sorry, Roy. But we don't know how Darlington 1883 versus Spennymoor Town finished, so we're just going to have to say late results on that one.
I'd like to say well done, Spennymoor.
Yeah. What a great game of football, and what an absolute great way to actually, you know, show the qualities of the Northern League.
It was quite controversial, though, weren't it?
It was
the finish.
Those two incidents, especially as well. Well, and after the game, let's not talk about that because
it was probably better.
It was a bit like Ashton last night.
To hear now what actually happened, we're going to go to Darlow Fans Radio, who covered the match live on Wednesday evening.
Brown throws short to Thompson. Thompson's controls Poon. He's dispossessed by Dodsby, comes back to Brown. Brown getting into the corner, swings in across. Good! 1-0 Darlington! Gary Brown with a ball in. Graham Armstrong was highest in the box. Darlington 1, Spennymoor 0. High towards Tate. Comes round the back. Play back across by Johnson, I think it was. Goes back to Stevenson. Oh, it's saved by Pete Jameson. It's scrambled in. It's an equaliser to Spenny Miller. I think it's Joe Tate who scored for Spenny Miller. Headed on by Henderson. Hooked up in the air and Coghlan's in around the back. It's 2-1 Spenny Miller. Is it Coghlan? No, it's Michael Roberts, sorry. Michael Roberts has put Spenny Miller ahead. It's been coming for Spenny Miller in all honesty. Darlow have been sluggish in the second half, haven't really created any opportunities, and Spenny Miller have been at the game. 12 and a half minutes left here at Heritage Park. Darling 1, Spenny Miller 2. Galbraith to swing this corner in, left footed. Throws it for Hatch, headed inside, and then Liam Scott clears away. Dowson plays it forward for Armstrong to chase. Armstrong can get there ahead of Johnson. Armstrong gets round Johnson. Down in the box for Armstrong. He's kept the ball in play, pulls it back to Dowson. Underneath it, heads it away.
Right, excellent commentary there from Darlow Fans Radio, and for a better perspective on what's coming up this weekend for Darlington, we've got a director from Darlington 1883. It's Dave Mills. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, really looking forward to our game tomorrow.
That was going to be my next question. How excited are you?
It's immensely exciting. I mean, we've had another great season. We didn't quite manage to get promoted in first place. You know, we had a battle with Salford all the way through. They pipped us to it. We finished in second, and so we go again.
This season, we've been saying about Division One North, how many front runners there are in that league. How difficult has it been this season?
It's been a fantastically difficult league. It's there's a lot of good teams. There's a lot of teams that are well organised. A lot of there's good fit lads. They're well organised by their managers. And no easy team in this league at all. Every game's a challenge. You know, teams set up they're set up to play forward. They're set up to play defence, and some quite difficult to break down. Great to watch, though.
Well, let's talk about Wednesday night's match and what an evening that must have been.
It certainly was.
We're all concerned.
Well, I mean, nail biting wasn't in it. I mean, it was it was swings and roundabouts. You know, we had good spells. Spenny Moore had good spells. Spenny Moore took the lead. You know, we were 2-1 down with less than 15 minutes to play. We made two inspired substitutions. Martin Gray put Liam Hatch and David Dowson on. And Hatchie scored with his first touch, and Dowson popped the winner in on 89 minutes. It was that kind of game. It was a fantastic game. You know, full credit to Spenny Moore. They come to play football. Absolutely fantastic. Great crowd, great atmosphere. And we were pleased to go through.
And as you finish second, you get home advantage for the playoff final on Saturday.
We do, yeah. We knew that, obviously, we'd get home advantage for the semi, and if we won that, we'd get home advantage for the final tomorrow, yeah.
And just to prove the playoff system does work, it's second against third, as it should be. Darlington against Bamber Bridge. What are your thoughts? Yeah, what are your thoughts at this point?
Yeah, well, again, you know, two footballing teams. You know, we've played Bamber Bridge twice this season. We've had two cracking games. You know, they know how to play football. They play football well. They play it on the ground. And again, it's just we know that, you know, we're in for a tough game. You know, they'll be set up well, they'll be well organised, got some cracking players, as we have. We're playing really well at the moment. Our form going into the end of the season has been fantastic. You know, it's all set up for just a good game of football. And it is right, you're absolutely right in what you say. Second versus third in the final is hopefully the way it should work out, and so it has.
And just to look at the more wider picture, Darlington 1883, a club reborn a couple of seasons ago. What would it mean to get promoted for the club?
Again, it means everything. I mean, you're right in saying we were reformed. You know, we're a fan-owned, community-based club. And the fans bought this club in May 2012, and we rewarded them in the first year with a victory of the Northern League at the first attempt. You know, this is our second year in the Eversick Division 1 North. And we want to reward them again with a promotion to the Eversick Premier. You know, it fits in our vision of, you know, climbing the ladder, climbing the pyramid, hopefully to get back where we belong, which is, you know, League Two football would be absolutely great. It's also on the back of moving the football club back into Darlington as soon as we can do that, hopefully for the start of the season. If not, it will be as soon as thereafter. So for the Darlington fan, you know, there's so much going on. We're being successful on the pitch, but we're also being successful off the pitch as well.
Well, on that note, Dave, I wish you all the best of luck for Saturday. It's going to be a cracking game, which should be available to listen to on Darlow Fans Radio. Do you like to plug the fixture before we go, Dave?
I certainly will. It is all ticket. I mean, obviously, there's no ticket sales on the day. It is all ticket. It's a sellout. Please do listen to Darlow Fans Radio. Follow the game on social media. I'm sure Bamber Bridge will have their live feeds. We'll have our live feeds. And we'll try and make it so there's not a medium where fans can't keep in touch. So, yeah, so bring it on. It's game day tomorrow. We're all looking forward to it. And, you know, hopefully the best team will win.
Nice one, Dave. Thanks for coming on the MPL show.
I'll tell you what, Ben.
Can someone say, I hope Darlington, congratulations to Darlington. Can someone say congratulations?
I'll tell you what, Darlington did really well to come through that game.
And can you say, well done, Spennymoor?
Well done, Spennymoor.
Spennymoor did brilliantly to beat Darlington.
Berkey, you should be on the BBC. In all fairness,
the game was the winner. The game was the winner. And I think Darlington will be good winners against Spennymoor.
But anyway, the result that we do definitely know was Bamber Bridge against Northwich Victoria. Any surprises from that result?
Not for me, no. I went to the game. Northwich did what they did both times they played against us, which was they are effective, they're huge, look like a team of basketball players, won absolutely everything in the air. Bamber Bridge took the lead, played nice football as always. The bit that probably kind of surprised me a little bit was once Bamber Bridge took the lead, they kind of looked nervy and were then pumping the ball long, which of course then Northwich winning every single header, Northwich equalised. Extra time, I just think Bamber Bridge's pace then told, and what a fantastic goal for the winner by a 17-year-old product from their academy
Regan Linney on 115th minute.
Yep.
Walk us through it then, what happened?
It was just the move was just fantastic football, obviously getting tired legs then, but he'd only been brought on as a substitute during extra time. Ali Waddicote still was full of running, he slipped the ball through, and Linney he still had work to do. It wasn't an easy chance by any stretch, still had a defender alongside him, but was just absolutely cool as a cucumber, 17 years old. And then the poor lad got absolutely lynched by everybody, including the managers, I think the photographers, I wouldn't be surprised if the fourth official piled on. I think everybody was on top of him. How he got up from underneath all of that, I've got no idea.
Is but he was fit for Saturday then?
I know, they're going to need him to be honest.
550 people were at that match, which is quite good for Division 1 North. Gaz, Bamber Bridge, your thoughts on them?
Personally, from this season, I thought they were one of the better footballing sides. Hopefully, they will beat Spennymoor on Saturday.
Stroke Darlington.
Stroke Darlington to go. Yeah, no, personally, I think Bamber Bridge won. One of the best footballing sides in this league.
I think the one thing about Bamber Bridge, in fairness, is that they've got a youthful exuberance as a management group. You know, some young guys there that are managing the team, and an old-headed manager to a degree who's gone through and been with them all every step of the way. Got a small budget as well in comparison to all the other teams that have been above them, and it's the manner of the football that they play. they play football with, I mean, you can tell they play football with a smile on their face because that's what the management are like. They've got good quality thing about them. There's something nice about Bamber Bridge, and I hope that, you know, Bamber Bridge can go on and win that, you know, whether it be Darlington or indeed Spennymoor.
Well, for more on Bamber Bridge's chances in this one, I caught up with their manager, Neil Crowe. So are you excited?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I must admit, I was very nervous for the semi on Tuesday night. But the final now, it's...
Well, if you cast your mind back to August and all the publicity that's flying around for Salford City, and you've got the likes of Darlington, Northwich Victoria, Drolsden, even Warrington, did you think you'd make the playoffs this year?
We'd have liked to think so. You know, I know we got there last year, but our aim was to get there. But we knew this year that this league has been the hardest that it's been for a very long time. And you're right with what you just said. Some of the big hitters in this league this year. I think we've done quite well to get where we are.
If I could let you into a little secret, Neil, everyone round the table at the MPL show who's seen Bamber Bridge are very complimentary towards your side and the way they play. How would you describe Bamber Bridge this season on the pitch?
I think, without being biased, I think they're a very good footballing side. Me and Renault try and encourage the lads to get it down on the floor and pass and play football the right way, and so they enjoy themselves. Like I say, 83 points, very good total for us.
And going into the playoff semi-final against Northwich, you said you were nervous. Were you secretly confident, though? Because you have finished third. I mean, it should be said, Bamber Bridge finishing third this season, cracking achievement.
Yeah.
So were you confident going into playing Northwich Victoria?
We were confident. I mean, I was a bit more confident that we were at home. You know, I think going to Northwich, we've never won there. It's an awkward place. The pitch hasn't been the best when we've been in the past. So we knew that if we could get the ball down, we're a match for anyone in this league. So yeah, I was a bit more confident with being at home.
And if we talk about this weekend's big match against Darlington, would you describe yourself as the underdogs or would you?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I would, definitely. I mean, you've got a club the size of Darlington. The playing budget, the fan base, you know, compared to Bamber Bridge, it's like David and Goliath, if you will. But the pressure's on them. Pressure's on Darlington at home. We're going there open-minded, confident. I know that if we play well, we'll get something.
And if you do get something and you get promoted to the Premier Division next season, what would that mean for Bamber Bridge, the club?
It's... Obviously, it'd mean a lot to me and Renault because we want to win things as managers. You know, we've got ambitions, but to the club as well. I think we've been in Division One now for nearly 10 years, and I think over the last 3 years we've progressed well, and we're nearly ready to go up to the next level. So yeah, it'd mean a lot.
Well, Neil Crowe, thank you for joining us on the Evo Stick MPL show this week. And we do, on behalf of all the listeners, wish you the best of luck.
Thanks a lot.
Roy, Bamber Bridge.
Bamber Bridge, I speak, you know, quite regularly with a lot of the management staff, you know, at other clubs. Bamber Bridge, maybe three seasons ago, when the two lads took over, financially... weren't really equipped to sort of pull up any great moments. What they have done, though, off the field, you know, they've worked hard. They've created a financial flow for the football team, and the lads have been able to pay a little bit more along the way. But what they have done is, right the way through it, the lads that have played for them, they've kept a nice core of those players. And like the young lad Regan, you know, who's come in. He has done very well. He's not got a lot of fear in him, and that comes from being young, you know, and enthusiastic, so they don't really see a lot of fear. And he can play football. He's got a nice little bit of pace about him. And then you have got, like, you know, the likes of Wadaka, you know, who can roam around, you know, and cause problems all the time. But I really feel, I think personally that they'll come up against Darlington, in my opinion, and it'll be a ding-dong again.
Have Bamber Bridge got enough regardless of which team they play?
Yeah, they have, because they have a lot of motivation in the style. You know, they can play football, but they can also keep a good pressure within a game, you know, for 90 minutes. But I just feel like, you know, at the end of the day, that I think the final will be very close again. I think what you're talking about is Darlington, who sling, you know, big diagonals from right foot back onto the left side, squeeze up and pick the little bits up, you know, in midfield as much as they can and try and keep pressure on teams. I think it was Berkey mentioned that when they went 1-0 up, they got a little bit nervous, Bamber Bridge. I think they need, or was it Laura?
Laura.
What they need to do is...
We're easily confused.
Yeah.
It happens to
be
all the time.
It's
the air colour. But the thing is, like, you know, if they can get over that little bit of fear and apprehension and what have you, you know, and carry on concentrating on the football, it'd be a ding-dong. I think it could even go to extra time.
Of course Bamber Bridge have got enough men. They finished third in the division. They were runners-up in the playoff final last year against Ramsbottom. They've been there before. Darlington haven't.
And weren't you plugging them for ages? Or have I made that up?
Yeah, but you're thinking Ramsbottom.
Mosley was thinking.
And Mosley. But equally, the thing is, what the one thing Darlington have, though, as well, they've had a player that's come to them, still scored a few goals for them, but nothing like it was a Harrogate. Mm. But Cartman's got a lot to prove. Could he prove it in the final? You know, that's
a place to do it,
you know, and he's a top quality centre forward. Don't get me wrong. Times I've seen him this season, he's looked a bit off. He's not played a full game. He's come on a substitute, but he's scored a lot of goals. And that is where sometimes centre forwards with that kind of calibre and quality come into their own in the final, and they do something a bit different. And that's it. The game's over.
Laura,
I think when it comes to the final, though, because we're talking about players with big game and managers with big game experience, I think we're almost sort of writing off the fact that last night John Macken and Paul McKenna played for Bamber Bridge, and they were probably the two coolest heads on the pitch. John Macken in particular, some of the touches on the ball were absolutely fantastic. So I think that's worth bearing in mind, that they've got such experience at a way higher level than playoff final.
Stuart James, hello from Non-League Review, how are you? This is pretty much going to be the last word on the show this week.
That's quality, that, it really is.
So Stuart, at least we can put your name on the description now and say he was here.
I was there.
So go on, what have you got to add?
I'm just going to Bamber Bridge. I was looking at the form for the last month of the season, and Bamber Bridge finished the season with the best record, and including beating Spennymoor. So if they come up against them in the final, they're going to have the edge against them. Darlington, will it take much out of them finishing second and being pipped to the league? So whoever they face. But I do fancy Bamber Bridge, because they got last season's, they're going to want to put that to bed, getting beat off Ramsbottom last season. So I just think that it will be Bamber Bridge for a number of reasons.
And how foolish are we all going to feel?
Yes.
When the results actually come in.
If Darlington do make the final, then that final will be played up at Darlington, and you'll be able to listen to full coverage on Darlow Fans Radio. It's great, this league, isn't it, at the moment, with all these broadcasters all around. It's great.
The town have got to choose between one or the other, but still.
Yes.
Hey, I'd tell you what though, Ben, if people out there are listening and their club doesn't have a radio station,
how easy is it, Ben? So Berkey, tell them how easy it is.
Ben, it's so, so easy to sell. On 26-0, it's proper Heath Robinson. We've got a 300-year-old laptop. We've got a crappy microphone that costs about £20 from Amazon. And that's it. Oh, a dongle as well that you need. That costs about £5 a month. You need £5 a month for the server that you'll need, and you'll want a website, which will cost about £5 a year. So all in, it don't cost you very much.
So Ben, why is FC Radio costing £400 a week?
Because it's mammoth. Swampy, it's mammoth. It's
I need to have a look into our finances at FC Radio.
But you don't, this is the thing. Well, the thing is, FC Radio sounds very professional, and 26-0,
please,
in comparison to 26-0, it does, but we stay on all through the match and through half time.
Oh.
And after full time as well, we have post match
reaction. Sometimes for hours after.
Why? But you have Rainbow.
Anyway, the thing is, it is really easy to set up your own commentary station for your team. If you want any advice, just give us an email at 26nil@gmail.com.
You might not get it because basically the bandwidth has pretty lost by that time.
Yeah, by the if you're wondering what we're going to be doing about Division 1 South, well, I'm going to now speak to Robin Gray, our Division 1 South correspondent, and we're going to discuss all things Sutton Coldfield Town. We've also got an interview with Sutton Coldfield Town.
Right, for a better perspective now than anyone can give round that table at the Magnet, we're joined by Division 1 South correspondent Robin Gray. Hello, Robin, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Ben, yourself?
I'm not so bad. Right, so it all boils down to this. Sutton Coldfield v Leek. Firstly, though, how's the playoffs been in Division 1 South?
I've been involved in both of the games this week, obviously with them being local teams to where I'm based, and Newcastle Town didn't show up, I think, against Sutton Coldfield. Sutton Coldfield were on the back foot for the start of the game, and then they got the goal through Justin Richards, who's got a goal out of nowhere, as we know. And then they settled into the game. It got to 2-0 and Castle scored, and you thought, well, can Newcastle get it back here? But Sutton were worthy winners in the end. Newcastle's maybe youth, the youth in Newcastle's side enables them to do so well when there's not pressure, but perhaps when there's pressure in some of these big games, they might not do as well as some of the more experienced teams in this league, like Mickleover we've seen do. So it was disappointing for them, but it's still heads held high. They had a wonderful season. They've got some great young players coming through, and it was a shame for them. Credit to Sutton Coldfield, though. They did really well and deserved it on the night. And then, of course, last night was Leek against Gresley, where Leek did really well. They played in these big games. Leek are the sides you'd want. The players that they've got. I've got players, you know, like Sam Hall, the captain, a solid base to the side. Everyone knows what they're doing, well drilled. And they just can get these results out of nowhere. I mean, they beat Mickleover 4-1 at home this season. So it says it all, really. And it was a great victory for them. And obviously, Gresley, a great season for them. So it's a shame for them in some ways. But at the same time, Leek were worthy winners.
873 at Leek as well. That bodes well for Saturday's final. It's going to be a bumper crowd. What's your take then on this final between Leek and Sutton Coldfield? I've already spoken just before this interview with Sutton Coldfield Town's manager, and he's going into this firmly of the belief that they're underdogs going into this.
Well, I'd agree with him, maybe, actually. Yeah, I think I'd agree. You know, I don't think when you look at the table as well, you know,
he points to the aggregate score of 11-0.
Well, exactly. You know, I think they've you know, Leek, the problem for Sutton is if Sutton can get an early goal, then you'd fancy them. But if Leek score one, you know, they could score any amount against any side. And I think in these big games, like we talk about, you know, you're looking goal. I know they've Ben Chapman isn't playing anymore. They've got obviously Martin in goal, but then they've got a solid back four of experienced players who've done it all. You know, Ryan Dicker, the likes of them. Yes, they've lost Matt Bell and Danny Smith, but you look at the spine in midfield, Danny Lick, Hall, and those two have really been at the spine of the team for Leek for the last three seasons now. And then, of course, the front three, they can interchange, and Tim Grice has been in great form this season for them. So, unfortunately for Sutton, they've just got to make sure that they don't let Leek concede. The longer the game goes on, like we saw when they played Belper last year, when Leek threw it away with two sloppy late goals. And the reason why that was is because Belper kept Leek out, and then Leek didn't score, and they, you know, mistakes at the end cost them. But when Leek are a goal up, they can be a very solid side. So that's the problem for Sutton Coldfield. But listen, Justin Richards, that they could get a goal out of anywhere, which was the case when they took the lead on Tuesday night at Newcastle Town. Newcastle are on top, and then Sutton got the goal. So my take on it, Ben, I think Leek will win the game because I know that in these games that they do turn up, and I really do fancy them.
That was I didn't even need to ask the question. That was going to be my last question that I was going to ask you. Robin, enjoy Saturday's match if you're going. You are going to take it. You'll be there.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Looking forward
would to you like it. To plug the work? Because I'm assuming you'll be tweeting as well while you're there and doing stuff, won't you?
Yeah, Not FM will be hopefully giving coverage, but if not, you can keep updates on my Twitter, which is at RobinGray21. So well, hopefully there'll be stuff there. And I'll let you know if there's any commentary, because it is something we'll try and do, yeah.
Nice one, Robin, and you have a good weekend. Well, for a managerial perspective on this upcoming Division 1 South playoff final, I spoke to Neil Toof, manager of Sutton Coldfield Town. Thanks for joining us, Neil. Congratulations for making the playoff final. Are you excited? Is the team excited?
Yes. We're obviously delighted to get into the final first and foremost. But yeah, we're excited. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be tough, but it was our aim at the start of the season to get into the playoffs. So now we're in. We don't see any reason why we can't go and win it.
Well, that was actually going to be my next question. Going back to August, what were the expectations for the season? But
I think a club our size and when we finished the last few years, we've been perennial sixth place finishers. So it was important for us to go one better and get in the playoffs. I mean, we had a fantastic start to the season.
I was going to say, you were out in front for a long time.
We were. I mean, it was a bit of a false position in one way because we played more games than everyone else. But, you know what I mean, it's still to be top for as long as we were. It's still, you know what I mean, still a good thing for us and a club of our size. So it just coincided that when we had our blip, a lot of other teams around us went on some ridiculous run of forms. And as I say, I think we finished with 83 points this year and it got us fourth. Well, in years gone by, I think that would have been enough for second and third place quite comfortably. And 76 points would have been enough to get you into the playoffs. So it's been a bit of a funny one this year, but it's testament to how strong the league is.
And certainly Division 1 South this year has been quite exciting. That last weekend where literally four teams could get the last two playoff spots, what was that like? Be involved with?
It was okay when we were 2-0 up. it wasn't so comfortable when it was 2-1 away that Stafford had scored. So I've said to our players all along, this is not pressure now. You know what I mean? Pressure for us was when we lost at Rainworth and we knew that we had to win five of our six games to have any chance of getting in. That was pressure. It was good. I mean, it was a bit of a weird day because with Norton, it was their last game, and you know what I mean. There was a bit of a sad feeling around the place. Although everyone tried it to be a celebration because you know what I mean. I really do think if they wouldn't have had their troubles, Norton would have been up there challenging with us for the playoffs. So it was a bit of a weird day on Saturday, but you know what I mean. We just had to get on with our job, and thankfully we did it.
And Newcastle Town on Tuesday night. Newcastle Town for a long time were title challengers, just like yourselves. The scoreline, is it flattering or were you that convincing?
No, I think it is slightly flattering. You know what I mean? Newcastle, a good team, a very good team. You know what I mean? Ivan's got some fantastic young players there, and they play it around well. He actually said after the game, Ivan, that he hopes we get promoted because he's sick of the sight of us this year. We played them five times and beaten them four. We kind of got the Indian sign on them, but it was closer than the 3-1. We went 2-0 up, and I think if we'd have kept it 2-0 for about 5-10 minutes, then we'd have probably saw out the game quite comfortably, but they got straight back into it. And then they put us under pressure, but we weathered it well. You know, I said to the lads before the game that Newcastle are a good team and they're going to have spells in the game where we are under pressure, and it's how we cope under that pressure that will ultimately decide how we get on, and we weathered it, and we was always a threat ourselves, although they were pushing us back. We were breaking and we had a couple of chances ourselves before we actually got the third.
Now, this Saturday, you're going up to Leek. Yes. Underdogs or...?
Oh, massively. Massive underdogs. We've played them three times this year. I think the aggregate score is 11-0.
Right.
They beat us 6-0 at theirs, 4-0 at ours in the cup, and then they beat us 1-0 in the league. And I'll be reminding Kaz of that when I see him on Saturday that we're massive underdogs. But it's a cup game. You know what I mean? It's a one-off game. There's going to be, I would imagine, there's going to be over 1,000 people there. You know what I mean? I went up to the game and watched last night, and there was 800 there last night, and there was a number of fans that probably don't come to the normal games that are coming to jump on, which is fine, which is what you get. So it's going to be a tough ask for us, but I come away from there not feeling apprehensive. You know what I mean? My biggest fear when I come away from there was, okay, the pitch, because the pitch is not the best, but it hasn't been the best all season. So, you know, you're getting there, but I didn't come away from it last night thinking, right, we need to do this or we need to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Leek are very much, although they've changed a few players, they play similar system. You know what I mean? We know the way they play. We know a lot about their players, as they will know a lot about us. So, it's, you know what I mean? I think a lot of managers in this position overthink it sometimes, but, you know what I mean? I'm not one of these managers that's going to get the lads in training tonight and we're going to set up to stop Leek. We're going to play our normal game, and if that's good enough on the day to beat them, then brilliant.
Well, Neil, on behalf of all the listeners of the MPL show, we wish you all the best of luck and have a lovely afternoon on Saturday.
Thank you.
Right, we're now joined by Andrew Wayne, chairman of Leek Town. Andy, how excited are you about this weekend's proper playoff final?
Yeah, well, we fit well and truly on the floor because we've been in the playoffs 3 out of 4 years now. We lost last year to Belper in the semi. I think we lost the year before in the semi, but we lost to Ilkeston the year before that in the final. So I'm not counting my chickens just yet, but yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Around the table at the MPL show, every year, who's your predictions for winning Division 1 South? Leek Town. Are you a sleeping giant of the division, and do you think you could do it this year?
I think a lot of people in the non-league scene look at us as a big club. We're an equal, and we're in Division 1 South for a reason. Over the past 5 years while I've been chairman, we've tried to develop the club and not throw a lot of money at it and do it that way. We try to move forward slowly, and that's what we've done, and we're in this position now. So hopefully after Saturday we'll be a Premier League club.
And how was Wednesday night's game against Gresley? Was it nerve-wracking? Because you got the goal quite early on, didn't you, and then held it?
Yeah, I think we got the goal after 6 minutes, and it was, when anybody ever scores at that time, you know, you think, well, it's going to be a long time to hold on, but we did. And yes, my point of view, it was very, very nervous, but we got there, and Gresley are a really good side. They're a strong physical, and credit to everybody there, what they've done this season.
And what do you think about this Saturday's match?
I think it's 11-0 this season against Sutton Coldfield in those matches with Leek Town. Not jinxing it or anything.
No, well, I think I got told we've played them 3 times this season already, and we've beaten them 3 times. But to be honest with you, that means absolutely nothing. It's a cup final, and whoever turns up will win the game. And I'm just hoping our lads are up for it, and I'm sure they will be. And we'll go out and do our best.
Well, Andy, good luck this weekend. All the best. I can't say you're my favourites to win it or anything like that, but good luck.
Thank you very much.
That's
Thank
all. You. Good luck to everyone in the playoffs.
Come on, Leek!
You don't, just to say, we don't know if Leek beat Gresley.
They are 1-0 up at the moment, though.
Okay.
I mean, can we just mention
Gresley have had a great season, though. They were expected to get in the playoffs.
That and playoff race in Division 1 South was very exciting.
It was buzzing, and I'd tell you what, Gresley...
It was what?
Buzzing. I've just gone back 40 years. Don't worry about it.
Phil Wood.
I don't think that's
a problem. Wild, particularly 2-6-1. Buzzing, that's what you always say. Great words. Should
we
use more?
It's a goal!
It's James goal! Billy 2-6-1!
It's a goal!
Oh, no!
Buzzing!
Oh, no!
Anyway, join us next week.
Come on,
for a season review of everything that has gone on in the past 8 months or so. Funnily enough, we'll be recording that the same time we recorded this show. It's all magic. Basically, none of us could be bothered to meet each other again in a pub. We don't actually like each other, actually. Anyway, from everyone here around the magnet, thank you to Gaz Worrell from Mosley FC.
Thank you.
That's quick.
AFC, rather. Thank you to Swampe from Radio 5 Live and FC on Radio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to Roy Sewell from New Mills.
Yeah, thank you, Ben.
Thank you to Aaron Flanagan from The Mirror.
Cheers, Ben.
That was nice. Very nice.
That's the most Cheers, Ben.
Thank you to Ian Burke from 26-0 and Radio Manchester. Thank you to James Hayes.
Evening.
Okay. How can people get involved with
facebook.com/groups/TMPL?
We need to change that next year.
Are we not doing relegation?
The MPL group.
No, mate.
Oh, sorry, it's best to do that again.
Hold your horse.
Why don't we do it? It's like an advert.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you to Laura Flint from Salford City. And thank you to Stuart James coming in right at the end there, Teddy showing him style from the non-league review. But from everyone here in the Magnet, good luck to everyone involved with the playoffs this week, and we'll see you next week for the Last in the Present series.
The EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like from EvoStick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the EvoStick League this year?
The EvoStick League?
Yeah, EvoStick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from EvoStick. Proud sponsors of the EvoStick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new EvoStick app.